Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Looks like the guy just said we are indeed solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll go into the phones right now. I'm pleased to bring on somebody who has been a frequent flyer here on the show, Chairman John Wall, the chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, doing an amazing job at one of the most unforgiving, least thanked, and unpaid positions available to state politics. John Wall, how are you doing today?
Oh, you know, I'm doing well, and great to be on the show again.
Hey, thanks so much. Well, listen, I want to talk about sort of building the bench of future conservatives and all that, but before I do that, let me just ask you this. Are we through with all the election challenges? I think we have one left, don't we?
We could have one coming up. Actually, we certified the runoff election results today in Montgomery.
Okay.
So the runoff election is certified, and there's 24 hours for someone to officially file an election contest. So yes, and we do expect one. Hopefully, just one. We'll see what happens. But yeah, we'll know tomorrow by noon. Let's put it that way.
And I think that's probably the one with Kimberly Butler in the House District 2 race, where Ben Harrison won the race right now. Correct?
That is correct. The district, yeah. House District 2 is the one we're watching, and we kind of expect a challenge from. Her counsel has reached out to us, let us know they are planning to file one. We have not received it yet, but expect it.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see how that goes. But I'll say this. You guys have had more on your plate with post-election machinations than I think I've ever seen. Would that be fair to say?
I think this has been a historical cycle for that, yes. I don't think we've ever seen this level of contest or really to this extent the problems that went wrong to this extent. So it's very, very much new territory for both the Republican Party and the state of Alabama.
Well, you know, some of the things you and I talked last time you were on the show about the possibility of future closed primaries, and you said that you were advocating for it. You issued a statement on that. I haven't heard much more since then about it, but is there still momentum within the legislature, you think, to pass a law regarding closing primaries?
I hope so. I'll tell you, as we've gone through this process, I have become more and more impressed by the need to close our primaries. You know, we literally had a professor in Auburn writing an op-ed in the New York Times bragging that their vote, they were a Democrat, they're a strong Democrat, and that their vote changed the Republican primary. That's obviously very, very disconcerting and very upsetting to Republicans. We should have Republicans electing Republican nominees and Democrats electing Democrat nominees, not spilling over into each other's primaries. So I think for both parties' sakes, we need to get that done.
Well, I don't disagree. And, you know, I don't think I ever saw the need for it. Like you said a moment ago, I don't think I'd ever seen the need for it like I have now. I mean, some would point back to the Charlie Graddick Democrat primary years ago. But that was really before I was super involved in. And I don't think I've ever seen the need for it like I have this year with the level of what appears to be people sort of playing around and dabbling and sometimes kind of in a more localized effort like the Senate District 27 race you're talking about where the lady or the professor wrote the thing in the New York Times. But my gosh, I think you're right. I think Republicans should elect Republicans and Democrats, Democrats.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, of course, this cycle also highlighted some other areas of concern. You know, you really learn where the problems are when you're the guy hearing the lawyers argue in these election contest cases. You know, sitting through 12 hours of deposition and arguments from listening to all sides in three different cases. Another thing that I think we have to do is make sure that every county, every one of our county's board of registrars have voter mapping software.
Well, I totally agree.
They need to have that ability to see where the district lines are and make sure people are assigned to the right areas.
I totally agree, and I'm flummoxed by the fact that they don't. In fact, I was on another radio show myself this morning as a guest, and we were talking about that very thing. And I told the guy, it was Jeff Poor down in Mobile, and I told Jeff, I said, you know, Jeff, one of the things that I've been surprised to find out is there a lack of uniformity as to how the registrars in various counties handle the district lines. Some have the old school paper maps and a stubby pencil, and some have computer software. Why is it different? There needs to be uniformity and consistent training across the board as well.
Yeah. Well, and a check and balance. You know, some of what we've seen this election cycle has just been absolute tragedy. You know, people who were given the wrong ballots. And there's nothing you can do to correct that. Like, once someone votes an incorrect ballot, you can't go back in time. So there's been so many sad things happen. And another area, you know, down in Senate District 27, you have a process with Aaliyah where someone requests to be registered to vote when they come in to get their driver's license. And the driver's license gets delayed. And instead of helping them be registered right away, they did not give them help them get registered. That's another area where we can do better. Like, if there's no reason that a voter registration needs to be tied to a final product of the driver's license.
No, I totally agree. Well, yeah, listen, and I still say, and you don't have to comment on this if you don't want to, but I still say that there are some people out of some of these debacles that we saw that probably need to lose their jobs. And I haven't seen anybody be walked to the door yet, but in Etowah County and in, you know, was it Lauderdale or Limestone County where HD2 is, and maybe even down in Tallapoosa County, there's some issues.
I believe the mistakes we're seeing there seem to be in Lauderdale County more than Limestone, but yes.
Okay, well, we'll see. If they don't lose their jobs, I'm going to be asking why, but that's for me, I guess.
Well, and I'll say this. During this whole process, especially down with Senate District 27, with Hobie Watley, there was a lot of frustration because of the amount of time that it took the party. And you know, a lot of people are like, well, you need to do this or you need to do that. And I was like, let the process work. It takes time. You want to let both sides have that legal foundation, be able to make their argument, explain where they're at, what they found, and then really investigate it. Because one thing the party is committed to is not just pushing stuff under the rug. We want to know what went wrong. We want to know who was messed up so we can try to correct that for the future.
Well, I think that's exactly right. And that level of transparency, while it may frustrate some with the timing, it builds trust in the end. And so that's where we got to be. Well, Mr. Chairman, let me ask you this. I'm not sure if you heard any of the show before you came on, but I've been spending some time here in the first part of the show talking about what I call building the bench. I mean, we got organizations out there like Turning Point USA working conservative principles with youth. We've got Leadership Institute for school boards. We've got the State Freedom Caucus Network for conservative legislators. There are groups out there trying to build the bench. Do you see anything? What are your thoughts on building the bench for future candidacies so that we don't just keep turning to the same people over and over again? And I mean any office.
Oh, you know, absolutely. You know, one of the things that I love to see are people who care about our country and you know, have this passion for serving the public, get involved in politics. And it's so easy. So many people have that frustration, and they feel, but they're like, how do you run? You know, what do you do? And they never consider themselves even a possibility for office. And I would encourage anyone out there, if you have a passion for public service and you know for our country and love the principles that our country is founded on, absolutely, I would love to see more people get engaged, more people, you know, jump into the political process, whether it's running for office or helping other candidates that are. You know, a lot of candidates grow out of campaign workers, and they see the process, they see how it works, and they're like, oh, it's not really rocket science.
Yeah.
Politicians are just people, just like anyone else. They wake up out of bed and roll out of bed just like you do.
And truthfully, they come from all walks of life. I mean, that's one of the things I pointed out, too, that when I was on the Senate floor, I was sitting next to a farmer, a dentist, a teacher, a retired Marine. I was a lawyer. I mean, it's like all across the board. I mean, it doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done, you can run for office.
The state party chairman is a butterfly farmer.
There you go. And who, by the way, is the only butterfly farmer I know in the entire world. And my grandson still wants to come see the butterfly farm.
Believe it or not, there's more of us out there. But yes, there's not many.
Well, I don't know if you heard me say it a moment ago. My grandson wants to come see the butterfly farm, so we need to work that out sometime. But we need to
make that happen. Give me some time because it's almost in disrepair right now because I've not been home very much over the last few weeks.
Well, you've sort of been going through 10 and 12 hours of depositions. But, well, let me ask you this real quick in the minute or two we got left. I know you talk to Republican Party chairs from across the nation. You talk to the RNC folks all the time. You're basically our ambassador to the RNC in many ways. So what are you thinking midterm-wise? How are we looking nationwide?
You know, I think we're looking good. I really do. And Alabama's committed to being part of that, you know, whether it's financially or our volunteers. You know, we're not going to let anything slip here in Alabama, but we're going to mobilize and try to help be part of taking back the House and the Senate. And I think we're looking strong, but I also recognize that complacency is how you lose. And we cannot be complacent. We are fighting for the heart and the soul of our country, and we need that passion, and we need that understanding that America, the very, very foundation of our country, are at stake. And I think if we have that, we challenge the Biden administration and that's his socialist agenda, and the Democrat socialist agenda, then we will win in November.
Well, I think so. I think House and Senate are up for grabs right now. In fact, I almost feel like the sentiment among, you know, the national politics appears to be that it's the Republicans' race to lose at this point in terms of taking back the House and Senate.
It does, and especially the House. The Senate's a little harder. I know some of the latest polling, both over in Georgia and in Pennsylvania, was not what I wanted it to be. So it's by no means over on the Senate side. I think we'll take the House. The Senate side is still up for grabs, but I'm hoping we can kind of shift those numbers over the next couple months.
And you just said something a moment ago. Are we looking at sending the mighty task force over to Georgia or other places to help knock on doors in places where the battleground states are needed?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, now that we're past the runoff election and also most of our election contests, that's going to be one of my number one targets between now and the election, is mobilizing donors and also volunteers. And I'll say, anyone out there in Radio Land, if you have an interest in volunteering, of being part of a team that is working to take back our country, give us a ring at the ALGOP headquarters, because we would love to have you be part of that. We'll definitely be sending teams out, Georgia, possibly some congressional seats in other states, where we will have boots on the ground and actively engaged in taking back this country.
All right. Well, John Wall, Mr. Chairman, thank you for your time. And maybe one day the chairman of the Republican Party will have a paycheck attached to it. But right now, thank you for being the biggest volunteer that I know.
Well, no, you know, it's an honor and a privilege to defend the rights and the freedoms of the people of Alabama. And that's what I see this job as. And as long as I can do that, it's worth it.
All right. Well, good enough. Well, you have a great day, sir. We'll talk again soon.
I'll look forward to being back on soon.
All right, Copper moves to a break. Ran a little bit long, so we'll come back and have a short segment. And then bottom of the hour after the 3:30 news break, it's Copper's Corner. You're going to want to hear what she has to say because she's good at saying it. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Build the bench, folks. Find the conservatives. And maybe it's you. Build the bench. We'll be right back.